This weekend is Shavuos, Friday and Shabbos, and there is a minhag, there's a custom to read the Megillas Rus on Shavuos. Now, there are many different customs in that regard. Actually, the custom of Lubavitch and Ger, the custom of Lubavitch and Ger is that we don't read it in Shul. People might read it at home, but Ger and Lubavitch do, and as well as the Sephardic Jews, or I shouldn't say, can't speak for all Sephardic Jews, but there is a Sephardic custom, or I should say, not to have, not to, not necess that they do not necessarily read Megillas Rus in Shul. That's one custom. Then the custom, there is a custom that's mentioned that the custom of the Ashkenazim in Chutz Laaretz is to read Megillas Rus. Some read it with the Ashkenazim. Some read it with some read it with a klaf. Some read it without a klaf. But one person reads it for the whole tzibur, for the whole congregation. But they do not make a bracha on it. They do not make a bracha on it. And then there is an opinion, and this is seems to be the Hasidic practice among with the exclusion of Sat, with the exclusion of Lubavitch and Ger, is that everybody reads it at the same time. It doesn't mean simultaneously, word for word, but they read it the same way many Hasidim read the Haftorah, and obviously they do not make a bracha on it. And then the Shita of the Gra, which is the minhag of many in Eretz Yisrael, is to read the Megillas Rus from a klaf and with a bracha. With a bracha. Now, it's clear that there is now from the Masechta Soferim it appears, as well as from the Yalkut Shimoni, that the custom to read Megillas Rus on Shavuos is a custom that dates back a long time. Certainly to the time of the Gaonim, but how it was read, and perhaps even before that, but how it was read, that varies from place to place and from time to time. Now, the when we so it seems that there is a connection between Megillas Rus and Shavuos. And I think this, if you take a look at the Levush is interesting. Levush says that when we read Megillas Rus, we read Megillas Rus with a bracha. But when we read, which is obviously not our custom, but when we read when we read on Sukkot, Kehelis, we don't make the bracha. And the question is, why should there be a difference? And I think, even though other reasons are suggested that need to be explained, one of the reasons suggested was because the Chachamim had some concerns initially about Megillas Kehelis, because there were certain psukim that initially seemed to be contradicting other psukim in terms of the ideas that were being expressed in Kehelas. But ultimately, the accepted custom was that we see Kehelas is part of Tanakh, although there was a dispute about that originally. So some want to say that the reason we don't make a bracha on Kehelas is because since there was an opinion that Kehelas shouldn't be part of Tanakh, so we don't make a bracha. To me, that's very difficult because in final analysis, we do recognize Kehelas as being part of Tanakh. So why is it that when one reads Kehelas, according to many Shitos, you don't on Rus, on Shavuos, you don't make a bracha? And Rus, I mean Kehelas on Sukkos, you don't make a bracha? And Rus on Shavuos, you do make a bracha. Why should there be a difference? And to me it seems that the obvious answer is that Rus has a much stronger relationship with Shavuos than Kehelas has with Sukkos. And it's because the Rus, a special relationship, strong relationship with the idea of Shavuos that it was proper to make a bracha on it. It's not just stam minhag, but it's a custom that, in a sense, expresses what Shavuos is all about. So when we understand that, so we have to understand what is it about Megillas Rus that creates a relationship with that it has a special relationship with Shavuos. Now, a number of pshatim are given. I'm sure every rabbi gives his own pshat, probably depending on the year. Each year they'll give a different pshat, a different explanation. But I want to mention the explanations that are mentioned by some of the early commentators. One reason given is because Shavuos is the holiday of Geirus. And because Shavuos is the holiday of Geirus, so we read about Rus, who went through Geirus, and not only that, but the Megillas Rus itself is the source of a lot of the halachos of Geirus. The Gemara in Yevamos deduces many dinim from Megillas Rus regarding what questions, how what mitzvos we inform the ger about, and how to treat a prospective ger who comes. So, because of that, some say that it's we read Megillas Rus on Shavuos. We'll go into that a little bit more. Another reason given is that the holiday, because if you take a look, the Torah, after telling us about the mitzvah of Shtei Halechem, of the korban, of the sacrifice that was given on Shavuos, it talks about the gifts that we have to leave for the ani, for the poor person from our fields, how the poor person could take certain leftovers from the fields, corners of the field, whatever it is, like a chikhan peya. So the laws, it discusses chesed that is done during the harvest season. And that's what Rus is all about. Rus is about chesed that is done during the harvest season. And then the Torah also talks, I mean, the Mepharshim also give another explanation. But we have to understand, that's true, the Torah mentions it. But the question is, what is the logical connection? What is the lesson to be learned by virtue of the fact that there is a relationship between Shavuos, perhaps Matan Torah, and providing for the poor? And then another reason given, and this reason is strange, but we were going to try to explain it anyway, is because Shavuos, according to Chazal, that was the day that David HaMelech passed away. And we know with many tzaddikim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has their death on the same day as their birth, as their birthday. So there is an assumption that David HaMelech not only died on Shavuos, but was also born on Shavuos. So, and David is the beginning of the dynasty, the kingship dynasty of the Jewish people, of the eternal kingship dynasty of the Jewish people. So the Torah wants to show the yichus, so to say, of David HaMelech. But we have to understand that because of that, we read it on Shavuos. We need to understand it. And then there's the Yalkut Shimoni. The Yalkut Shimoni gives another reason. The Yalkut Shimoni says, Ma inyan rus etzla teres. Shenikre spat teres. What's the significance of Megillas Rus with that teres, that it's red, not teres. The teres meaning Shavuos. And he says, "Atzeres b'zman matan Torah, in the time of the giving of the Torah, l'lamdecha shelo nitna Torah al yedei yisurim va'oni, that Torah was given only through pain and oni and poverty, because you see." What Rus had to go through. Rus, according to our sages, was the daughter of the king of Moab. And she gave all that up for a life of poverty. She gave all that up. And from the perspective, she saw that she would have to go beg. Go to other people's fields. Pick up what the people dropped. So, because of that, because the Torah is teaching us the trials and tribulations that one has to go in accepting Torah. Now, it's interesting. In conjunction with that answer, it's interesting. The when Rus tells Boaz that he is the Goel, he is the Redeemer, that he should take her as his wife in order to give perpetuation to the memory of her first husband, that he should perform Yibum. So Boaz said to her, "Hey Tavta Chaste Chach Rein Meharisham, your Chesed, your first Chesed is greater." Then your second chesed is greater than your first chesed. The kindness that you've shown, the first kindness. The second kindness is greater than the first. What was the first kindness? So some say the way that she helped Naomi, that was the first. The second kindness was her willingness to marry Boaz. Her willingness in doing it, either for Boaz, but more so for the memory of her previous husband. So that kindness was considered greater than the first kindness that she showed to her mother-in-law, to Naomi, giving up being the daughter of the king of Moab. But others explain it a little different. Many explain it that heitaf t'chasteich, that your last chesed, what is the last chesed? The last chesed that you did was the chesed of undergoing geirus. The kindness of undergoing geirus was greater than the chesed of taking care of Naomi. The chesed of marrying Boaz was greater than the first chesed, the chesed of undergoing geirus, of undergoing conversion. And we have to understand why did he describe it that way? That the kindness of marrying Boaz to perpetuate the name of her former husband was greater than the chesed of undergoing geirus, of undergoing conversion. And the question is, when she went conversion, what kind of chesed was it? And it's interesting. And my uncle Shiurim, my uncle raises the question that the Medrash Rabbah says that the Medrash Rabbah says that the chesed of the Medrash Rabbah says that the chesed the Medrash Rabbah asked the question, why was Megillas Rus written? There's no Tuma and Tahara. It doesn't talk about the laws of purification. It doesn't talk about the laws of contamination. It doesn't talk about Esor, of what is prohibited. It doesn't talk about the laws of Heter, what is permitted. It just tells us the story of Rus. So why? Why was Rus written down? And the Medrash Rabbah says, the reason Rus was written down was L'lamdecha kamas char tov l'gom lechasad. How great is the reward for those who do chesed, for those who show kindness, for those who show kindness. So the question, my uncle raised the question, what was the kindness? What do you mean? There was the Gemara, the Medrash says that there was nothing there, no halachas, no laws. But it was just written to tell us about the kindness of Rus, to understand the significance of kindness. But all the laws of geirus, all the laws of conversion, a couple other laws also, but all the laws of conversion, almost all the laws of conversion, are deduced from Rus. So how could the Medrash in the question even ask, why was it written? that there's nothing, there are no halachas there. There are no laws mentioned there. Certainly there are laws mentioned there, the laws of conversion. Most of the laws of conversion are deduced from Rus. So my uncle said, citing the Mepharshim, the Chastei Harishon, the first chesed you did. What was the first chesed? The first chesed was undergoing geiris, undergoing conversion. But then the question is, how is undergoing conversion considered a chesed? And my uncle said, he says, on one hand, when one undergoes conversion, that's a chesed to the world, to the whole world. Because every person, who every Jew, in a sense, is a ner lagoyim. We contribute, the Jewish people as such, B'nei Bechori Yisrael, are the trailblazers for the world. They enlighten the world. Perhaps not in one day or 2 days, perhaps long term. But every Jew has the ability to contribute to setting the world on the proper path. Of course, in doing that, you have to act properly yourself. So, on one hand, it's a chesed to the world, my uncle said. On the other hand, in addition, my uncle said it's a chesed to the Jewish people. Because when a person goes through geiris, he is giving strength, chizuk, to the Jewish people. So, that was the chesed. Others use a different expression. They say a person is doing chesed for themselves. They're doing kindness for their own soul. But the question is, the Gemara, the Megillah seems to say that the second chesed, the chesed of marrying Boaz, of perhaps perpetuating the name of her dead husband, was greater or is greater than the chesed than the chesed of going through geiris. Now, especially if we say that, as my uncle said, that it's a chesed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So my uncle, answering the question, said that the chesed was a chesed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was a chesed to God, because God, to the world, excuse me, it's a chesed to the world because God uses the Jew to enlighten the world. Now, if we say that, so how could we say that the chesed for the one individual is greater than the chesed for the whole world, and then the chesed for the Jewish people? How could we say that? And then, if you ask me, if we want to say it's chesed, we could even suggest, you know, there's a pasuk in Yirmiyah, Zecharti lo chesed nu'urayach, and according to, there's a dispute among the Mepharshim, Lechtech achrai bamidbor. So God says, I remember the chesed of your youth, of the foundation of you as a nation, when you went through the desert, Beretz Lo Zeruah, in a wasteland. And it seems, according to the way some of Farshim learned, There is my focus about it. But chesed nurayach is the chesed that the Jew did for God. So I would suggest, just as an alternative, I would not suggest it if not for the pasuk, but perhaps it, Geirus is seen as a chesed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In a sense, we are becoming partners of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We are helping HaKadosh Baruch Hu in showing the world or in giving chizuk to the Jewish people. And then certainly we have to ask the question, how is it that this chesed, if we say that explanation, how is it that this chesed should be heitavta? That the chesed of marrying Boaz is considered a greater chesed. How are we to understand that? But I think when we evaluate chesed, when we evaluate chesed, and when we evaluate the chesed, when a person does the sacrifice a person makes to do it, that's a greater chesed. In other words, if you have two people, one person very rich and one person poor, and they both contribute, they help poor person out. But how do we evaluate the chesed? Do we evaluate in terms of dollars and cents? Or do we evaluate it on the basis of the sacrifice that a person makes? So at least one of the criteria of chesed, of course, we have chesed of saving a life. That's to a certain sense is on a higher level. But one way of evaluating chesed, and it's not the only way, but one way of evaluating chesed, the degree of chesed, is in the sacrifice that is made. So, in a sense, the chesed, from the perspective of the chesed, in other words, the chesed of, in a sense, her marrying an elderly person. We know that Boaz died shortly after the marriage, and all that could be seen as a greater sacrifice on Rus's part. As a greater sacrifice on Rus's part than the going with Naomi. So I think that perhaps is what Boaz is saying. If we view Chesed from the perspective of sacrifice, and it's not just Chesed that has to be viewed from the perspective of sacrifice. Everything, I think, anything that we do has to be viewed from the perspective of sacrifice. You know, we take a look today. You have people learning Torah. You have so many people in Kollelim. And in previous generations, there were many less learning in Kollelim. But and when you view it from that perspective, a person could suggest, hey, maybe we're on a higher level. Of course, it goes against everything that we know and we see. But a person might make that argument. Let's take a look at the numbers. Look how many people are learning. Look how many people are learning all day long. But on the other hand, the former generations, and this Gemara mentions similar incidents that the generations where they didn't learn as much. Nevertheless, because of their sacrifices, they were able, in a sense, to accomplish miracles. So we have to evaluate things on the basis of sacrifice. And this was Rus. Rus did chesed. Rus accepted Torah. But it was all through sacrifice. But the question is, so the Medrash says, why is it? So, but there is no laws of Iser and Heter. And the Medrash says that to tell us about the importance of doing the gemilus chesed, showing kindness, the reward for showing gemilus chasadim. So the question was, how did the Gemara even ask such a question? So my uncle said, because Geiris is also gemilus chasadim. Yes, but the question is still there. How did the Gemara have a question in the first place? It's true, Geiris might be gemilus chasadim. It might be kindness. It might be kindness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It might be kindness to the Jewish people. It might be kindness to the world. But how could the Gemara have asked? There is no Iser v'Heter there. The laws of Geiris are all there. How could the Gemara have even asked such a question? And I think the way he could understood, and we can understand what my uncle said in this manner also. In other words, we could understand it, that the question of the Gemara is viewing Megillas Rus from its simple pshat, the pshuto shomikra. And I'll explain why in a minute. But from the perspective of the Pshuto Shemikra, from the simple explanation of Megillas Rus, there are really no halachas there. There are halachas that we can deduce from there, but it's not written in the simple pshat as halachas, as laws. In other words, if Megillas Rus was written as Torah, it was written even in according to the Pshuto Shel Mikra. In the simple explanation, it should have, the question is, the reason for writing Megillas Rus is not because of the Drashos. The Drashos, those were all Halacha L'Moshe Mesinai anyway. Those laws did not begin with Rus. Those laws began with Sinai. But things that were given over orally, later on, we see words in Tanakh that are expressive of it. But that's not the reason these books of Tanakh were written. The reason the books of Tanakh of the Nevi'im and Ksuvim, the reason Rus was written, because of the Pshuto Shomikra, because of the simple understanding of the words of Rus. But once it was written to us about Chesed, the Torah in writing about Chesed, Megillas Rus reveals laws of Geiris, which is also chesed. which was also chesed. But Megillah Swiss was not written to reveal those laws. But once it was written, because of what happened with Rus, in order that we should identify the laws of Geirus with Rus, with Chesed, the laws of Geirus could be deduced from the words in Megillah Swiss. But it's not part of the Pshuto Shomikra. It's not part of the simple words. Now, so that explains the idea that, so that's why, so the essence of Rus is learning chesed, doing kindness, taking care of the poor. And kindness manifests itself not just in giving something, but kindness manifests itself in giving a person a certain self-perspective. Boaz, it wasn't just that he told Ruth, stay in this field, but he gave her self-respect. Don't see yourself just as a beggar. Eat at the table with my workers. That's also chesed. Now, the question though is, what is the significance of the, so, well, what does the chesed have to do? What is the what does chesed have to do in Matan Torah? And also we have to understand the reason that identifies Megillas Rus with the birth of David HaMelech. Okay, it's true. David HaMelech died and perhaps was born on Shavuos. But that's not the focus of Shavuos. The focus of Shavuos is Matan Torah. So why do we read? Just because it happened on that day. So because of that, we read Megillas Rus. Because of that, according to some shitas, we make a bracha on Megillas Rus. How are we to understand it? Now, I think that part of Megillas Rus is to tell us what Jewish leadership is all about. There are two perspectives of leadership. One perspective of leadership is to see leadership as a position which offers people an opportunity to take. We read in the newspapers, not going into details, and I'm not talking about specific individuals. We could talk about generally that people use positions of leadership. People desire leadership because it offers potential for taking. On the other hand, there are people that view leadership positively because and are interested in being leaders, because they have this need, they have this desire to give. According to Das Kane with Baal Tosfos, for example, Avram, in Bayera, he sits, Kachom Hayom, that was the time for eating. But Avram couldn't eat. unless he could share his food with somebody. According to the Daskenim of Baal Tosfos, that's why he stood by the door of the tent. Now, we have a contrast. Look, Torah tells us about Korach. The first pasuk, Korach took. Vayikach Korach. Torah doesn't tell us what Korach took. Rashi mentions Tupshatim. Rashi says he took Rashi Sanhedrios. He took leaders of Sanhedrin, of leaders of Batei Dinim with him in his rebellion against Moshe. And another pshat is he took himself aside to wage war against Moshe, created another camp. But the pasuk just says Vayikach Korach. It's an unfinished sentence. The question is, why did the Torah tell us? Why did the Torah leave it Vayikach Korach? And the answer is the reason the Torah, because the Torah wanted to tell us what was it that made Korach desire leadership? Because Korach, by his very nature, was a taker. Vayikach Korach, Korach took. What did Korach take? Korach took whatever he could take. He was a taker. That's why he desired leadership. Similar to the political, some of the politicians today. But then, on the other hand, when Moshe Rabbeinu defended his leadership and Shmuel in the Haftorah Parshas Korach defended his role as a leader, he says, "Achamor mi lakachti? Did I take anything from anybody?" Moshe and Shmuel, they saw leadership from the perspective that it offered opportunity to give. Elimelech was a man who desired leadership. As I'll say, Elimelech, if you take the word Elimelech, it's Eli Melech. To me is kingship. Is king. And our sages tell us that Elimelech was one of the leaders of the Jewish people. But what happened? There was a rav. There was a famine in the land. So he abandons the Jewish people. He abandons the people he was the leader of. And he goes to stay Moab, to the fields of Moab. Why does he go to the fields of Moab? Because when there was a famine in the land, the position of leadership that he had no longer opened for him opportunities of giving. From here on, by being a leader, he had to give. And Elimelech had no desire for leadership that manifests itself in giving. He only desired leadership that manifests itself in taking. So, and the same thing is true. He had the Korach approach. And then, so, Malchus Beis David, that represents the idea of Jewish leadership. Jewish leadership has to be grounded in his desire to do chesed. And this is why the connection. So David, he is the foundation of Chesed. But, and we see, compare, what is Megillas Rus all about? Megillas Rus is about, Megillas Rus is about Rus doing Chesed Panami, Boaz doing Chesed Panami in Rus, as contrasted with Elimelech, who only does Chesed for himself, but not for his neshama, for his physical being. So the idea behind Megillas Rus is the idea that Jewish leadership manifests itself in chesed, in giving rather than taking. It's interesting, it was in one of the Jewish newspapers. One of the Jewish newspapers in Europe. So at that time, they went around asking different dolim, different leaders of the Jewish people, what is the job of a rabbi? So they went to the Aruch HaShulchan. The Aruch HaShulchan was perhaps the greatest posek of that time, certainly his work. The Aruch HaShulchan made him the posek for many generations of Rabbanim. And they asked him, what is the job of a rabbi? The Aruch HaShulchan said, the job of a rabbi is to paskin shailos. If a question of Jewish law comes up, you go to the rabbi, the pastor, to decide. They went to Rav Itzler Pederberger. Rav Itzler Pederberger was perhaps the outstanding student of Rav Yisrael Salanter, the founder of the Musa movement. And they asked Rav Itzler Pederberger, what is the job of a rabbi, of a spiritual leader? Rav Itzler Pederberger said, the job of a rabbi is to give mussar, to tell the people how they're not acting properly, how they can improve themselves. They went to Rebbe Fall Shapiro, my great great grandfather. Rebbe Fall Shapiro was a big masnet. He sat and learned all the time. He did not get involved. He was the Rosh Yeshiva of Volozhin, but he did not get involved in much. The story is, even bringing up his children, to a large degree, he gave it over to his father-in-law, the Netziv. So, matter of fact, there's a story that when he was getting dressed for his, when he was getting dressed for his daughter's wedding, I don't know, but one of his daughters married Reb Chaim. So I don't know if it was Reb Chaim's, wedding or another daughter's wedding. But so a string from his kapata that he got for the wedding pulled, and I think a button fell out, whatever it was. And he said, "I saw Gittel Bunnen. The trouble we have bringing up children." Because to him, that was probably the biggest Sar Gittel Bunnen he had. Because his father-in-law brought up his children to a large degree. I don't know if the story's true, but that's the story I heard. So they asked Rabbi Paul Shapiro, what's the job of a Rav? Rabbi Paul Shapiro was a Rav in a number of cities. It was Rav Shiva Balashin also for a while. After the Russian government closed down the Balashin Yeshiva, he was successful in reopening it. And while he was Rav Shiva, he was obviously Rav of Balashin as well. He was the rabbi of Balashin. They asked him, what's the job? So I heard two versions. One version was, he said, nothing. And then the other version, more likely, he says, the job of a rav, the job of a rabbi is to sit and to learn, to sit and to study. Okay, then they went to Reb Chaim, my great-grandfather, who was the son-in-law of Rabbi Paul Shapiro. And they asked Reb Chaim, what is the job of a rav? What is the job of a rabbi? It's interesting when someone wants to be a candidate to be a rabbi, on the resumes, what do they put down? They put down the courses he taught, the courses he took. The jobs, the names of the jobs that he had. The projects that he had. But very rarely do they put down the chesed. The chesed that he did as Rav. How he helped the poor. That's not put down. And probably for good reason. Somebody would put down how he helped the poor when he was rabbi of the community, they probably would not hire him. They would be scared. So, what Reb Chaim said, the job of a rav, the job of a rabbi, is to coordinate chesed in the town, to help those who are hungry have food. That's the main job of a rav, the main job of a rabbi. To help the sick, to help the downtrodden. My grandfather, when he got his first, he was Reb Chaim's son, my grandfather Reb Moshe. When he got his first job in Rasein, he was the rav of Rasein. And it's before he went to Rasein, Reb Chaim told him a number of things that he has to know as a rabbi. What the job, what his job is as a rabbi. But the thing he emphasized most was you have to help those who are in trouble. Those who are in financial trouble. Those who don't have food. Those that are overcome with sickness. Those that have emotional problems. That was the main job of spiritual leadership, of being a rabbi. And I want to suggest that perhaps that's the main job of a king, of a leader, of a country. Concern about the people. And to a certain degree, I've mentioned in the last couple of weeks, number of times, that the Jewish people could get the Torah. Why did they get the Torah at this time? Because they were by Yichan Sham Yisrael, Neged Ahar, they camped opposite the Mount Sinai in the singular form. Ki Ish Echad B'Lei V'Chad, they were like one person with one heart. What does it mean to be like one person with one heart? And why was that a prerequisite for getting the Torah? It was a prerequisite for getting the Torah. Because when I said Na'aseh V'Nishma, I accepted the Torah not just for myself. I accepted the Torah, as I've mentioned many times, for all of the Jewish people, and not just for the Jewish people of this generation, but for the Jewish people of the other generations as well. I have a responsibility towards them. But how can I accept something for somebody else? I have to be like the same person. How am I like the same person? I'm like the same person if I feel this pain. It's empathy. I feel his pain, and I feel his joy. Empathy as opposed to sympathy. And today, sympathy would be a big step. But what is required of us is empathy. Look, going to shuls today. I remember as a boy, you went into a shul. People, all kinds of different types of people. And they were devoted one to another. One could have been rich and one could have been poor. One could be prestigious and the other didn't have such prestige. But they were more like Ish and Chod than today. Today, I remember hearing years ago about one of the day schools, I'm not going to say which day school it was. And it was always, in day schools, one admired what the parents, the effort the parents put to help their day school out. And it didn't make a difference if the parent was rich and the parent was poor. They always volunteered their time. I mean, there are probably cases where they weren't able to. But the day school wasn't just like a store or something extraneous to them. That was their day school. Remember, there was one man from time to time. He was a poor man. But he was on the board because he would always volunteer the board of the day school. And every time we'd come in, I would talk to him. I felt he liked when people would go over to him to talk to him. He would come. And so I was asked what's going on, and he would tell me with great pride the work that his day school is doing, that he's involved in. And then once he came in, and I said to him, what's going on? He says, there's a new group there. He says, they call us dead wood. You know something? They might even give charity tooth that will ultimately end up in the hands of these people. But that's not the charity of Boaz. Sit with my people. Give them a good feeling about themselves. This is the chesed of Ke'ish Echad B'Lev Echad. This is the chesed of Ke'ish Echad B'Lev Echad. We have to be like the other person to accept the Torah for the other person. And this is, in a sense, the Geirus itself, when the story of Hillel I mentioned, when they said, tell me the whole Torah on one foot before I undergo conversion. He said, "Ba'haftal re'ach kamocha, love your friend as yourself." In other words, if you can accept Geirus' acceptance of Torah, it's Matan Torah. It's the perpetuation of Sinai. And when someone undergoes Geirus, he's not accepting the Torah just for himself. He has to be accepting it for all the Jewish people. So it has to be v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha, in the sense you and me are one. Kamocha, as if he was you. You have to love him as if he was you. He was kish echad, b'lev echad. In a sense, it has to be kish echad, b'lev echad. So the giving of the chesed is the idea that me and the other person is one. But the chesed shouldn't be just on the basis of sympathy. It has to be on the basis of empathy. So, and the idea is, Chazal tell us, lo nitna Torah elo letzarif es abrios. The Torah was given to bring people together. And the Rambam in Hilchos Melachim, when he talks about the Melech, he says, the Melech who's lev ha'am kulo, he is the heart of the whole nation. The nation has to be like one body, and the Melech has to be like its heart. The heart is symbol of the feelings and the emotions. Hu lev ha'am kulo. And that's what Matan Torah, Chesed, Yerus, all of that is one, because we and them are all one. I think that's why, in regard to Shavuos, we're told in the Torah about giving or leaving for the poor. That's all part of Matan Torah. It's all part of being ke'ish echad b'lev echad, of being like one person with one heart. So the Rus talks about chesed. It talks how Rus sacrificed herself to be with Naomi. Me and you are one. So the Torah tells us the laws of chesed. Torah tells us the laws of chesed through drashos. In the Megillah of Chesed, because the Megillah of Chesed is the foundation of Ke'ish Echad B'Lev Echad, for the acceptings of Torah. It's the foundation for Jewish leadership. Shavuos is Matan Torah. Shavuos is devotion to every Jew. Shavuos is the day that we do Chesed for the poor. And poor doesn't just mean those who don't have money. People could have psychological problems as well. To make a person who's sad feel happy. There are people, and sometimes it originates in their own bad perspective of themselves, that they only can get happiness with seeing somebody else down. Shavuos is the time, the Haftaloyacha Tumocha. We all have to be dedicated. We have to be dedicated to each other. And here's also, there's a special mitzvah of Avas Ager, of love of the Ger, to accept the Ger, to make him feel that he's one with us, not to treat him as if he was something separate. But as the Rambam points out, it has to be real Geirus. It has to be Geirus where the Geir joins the Jewish people, where the Geir is committed to Torah. And if we could suggest, if I've suggested in the past, that that's the idea of Beis Din. The idea of Beis Din, we see by the Avos, we ask, where was the Geirus? Before Matan Torah, where was the Beis Din before Matan Torah? The answer is the Geirus before Matan Torah was the individual Geirus, the Geirus of the individual. And Matan Torah, it was the Geirus of the nation. When I am the Geir, when a person is Megayer, when a person goes through Geirus conversion, first of all, he converts. He becomes a Jew, but he also becomes part of the Jewish nation. The need for a Beis Din for Geirus began with Matan Torah, or after Matan Torah, Because then the conversion was not just the conversion that I became a Jew. There the conversion was I became part of the Jewish nation. The Beis Din represents the Jewish nation. The Beis Din accepts the ger as part of the Jewish nation. And this is what we have to understand. We can only be re-experienced Matan Torah if we'll be ke'ish echad b'lev echad. Okay.
If anyone has any questions, please put them in the chat.